Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
And welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's start off the show by discussing the most recent news. Gail Kim has said that WWE watches Impact Wrestling all the time. Is this true, Aaron?
She said they actually pay a lot of attention to TNA because they are the main competition. And even though WWE shrugs them off as being, you know, this smaller promotion, it actually goes to show that they do pay attention to not only them, but also to Ring of Honor.
That's actually really interesting. I'm surprised they actually pay attention to Ring of Honor, but hey, they got to get their next superstar from somewhere. Turns out that's where they're getting it.
So, you're not going to get it from NXT, right?
Exactly. One thing that's big, though, Vince is actually really ticked off with Ryder's shirt that says, "Take care, Spike TV your hair" slogan. What's the reason behind this, Aaron?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, Spike TV your hair just really upsets him. I don't understand it, so.
They're upset. I thought he freaked out because the one says Spike. It's a Spike.
Yeah. That, which is just so freaking stupid.
Yeah, well, I mean,
say anything about Spike TV, it says Spike your hair. That doesn't make me think about TNA. In fact, I never thought about TNA until just now.
Yeah, exactly, which is the funny part. So that should tell you something. But anyways, let's there's actually some breaking news though. But we can't talk about it yet. We'll save it for next week. Something big happened recently.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it later. Anyway, so let's move on to Vengeance. And of course, Dolph Ziggler retains. Zack Ryder loses Saturday.
Which we talked about, and I said that I think it would be a good idea for Ziggler to retain and not have Ryder win it, because it'd just be, you know, it wouldn't be as, like, meaningful if Ryder wins it now. And in fact, you know, I said that have him win it at Survivor Series, but I actually think that maybe not even have him win it for a while. Like, have him be a crowd favorite, you know, fan favorite, and don't have him win till maybe even WrestleMania. You know, like win a title then, just to like get really over.
Well, he could always bring the internet title into the picture.
He said that he wouldn't, and I don't think it would be a good idea to either. I think that it's a fun prop on a show. I don't think that you have that be a title they, you know, wrestle for.
Speaking of fun props, Christian gets buried. So it turns out he's just the stepping stone. He's the WWE welcoming mat, if you want to call it that. Just like we used to call it my old boss.
We talked about Matt Hardy being the stepping stone, and now Christian has become it. And it's really sad. I hate to say it, but I really would like to see Christian back in TNA. Because I think that this is bullcrap. Which is, you know, we're going to talk about somebody else who's also kind of getting buried a little bit. But I don't know. Have Christian win this match. He lost last pay-per-view. Why not have him win this pay-per-view and then have Sheamus win at Survivor Series? Wouldn't that make more sense?
Well, it would, but because he won the title from, you know, because his buddy basically handed it to him, of course he has to get buried. He's going to continue to get buried till he goes somewhere else. And I have a feeling he's going to go to TNA.
Yeah, well, the other thing that happened, Andy, was we had our Miz. They beat Punk and Triple H with Nash interfering. What did you think of this segment?
I didn't like the fact that Nash came back. That was ridiculous. You didn't even have Kevin Nash come back. And the way that they did it, I thought was in poor taste to a certain extent. Why did Nash come back? Why did he have to come back? He was done. No one cared. He was gone. Now he's back and we're like, ugh, what now? I don't even see the point of this. The match itself was okay. I thought they did a decent job, but it's one of those things. Come on. I mean, come on.
I think It was really by the numbers, and having Triple H or having Nash come in to destroy Triple H, it seemed a little elementary to me. And I also felt that it was unnecessary. In the same way, I also felt that Henry superplexing Big Show and destroying the ring was a little unnecessary.
I saw that coming a mile away. As soon as I saw that there was not many bumps done at the very bottom of the ring, and then all of a sudden I was like, he's going up top, I'm like, they're breaking the ring. That was the first thing I thought. They've done it before. The spot with Lesnar, though, doing it, I thought it was done excellent. That spot was realistic, and the shock value was amazing. It would have been almost better if they went through the ring. I mean, yeah. The only problem with that is, though, they would have to do it at a weird angle, and they would have, because the WWE, of course, has one big spring in the middle. They would have to remove that spring, and then all those guys would have to be taking hard bumps all night long. Mm-hmm. So you almost can't do that. You actually have to do what they did. But, you know, I thought this was unnecessary. If they were going to do it, this should have been the last thing that happened at the pay-per-view. But instead, they went right into Del Rio and Cena, that match, with no ring. So the ring is done. And it's and from what I gather, it's very hard to wrestle on that ring.
Yeah. It was kind of a train wreck. But I'm going to be honest. I really, really liked it. I don't like the spot of doing the, you know, superplex again. But having the ring destroyed and then having, you know, Cena and Alberto Del Rio come out, and they're like, look, you got to wrestle in this. Like, sorry, but what can we do? We can't rebuild the ring, you know. That was kind of like, wow, you know, that's realistic, you know. Like, that's something that would happen, you know, that you could see happen. So I liked that. I actually did. And the match itself, though, I think suffered a little from it because of the fact that there was no ring. But it made it a little bit more brutal. The one thing I noticed, though, while watching this match is I thought Alberto Del Rio was ready for the main event. And I got to say, after watching this match, I didn't picture myself paying $50 to watch this. You know, like, you're paying money for the main event, right? This, to me, did not sell. Like, I would not have bought this. And I think that this was a poor excuse for a pay-per-view. A piss poor excuse for a pay-per-view, in my opinion.
I actually do agree. I thought this pay-per-view was unnecessary. Way too many pay-per-views in a row. Even though, you know, it was okay. No, I take that back. It was bad. Not worth the money. Definitely not worth the money.
No storylines got set up for the coming months except for Nash and Triple H. That's the only one that got set up at the pay-per-view.
And here's the problem with creative. That's it. There's a huge problem with creative, and they need to address it because it's not going anywhere. And, you know, I know they've hired certain people, but it seems that everything is focused on Triple H and Kevin Nash. And the other stuff is like, oh, here's what's going on. You know, it's something that, like, when we get into SmackDown, there's something I will really want to spend some time on. But let's get right into Raw, because Vengeance is over with. It's done. Hopefully you didn't buy it. If you did, I'm sorry. So Trips decides to call on Nash. And, of course, nothing happens. Trips comes back up to the ramp, and bam, Nash hits him with the hammer. Mm-hmm. Also messes with him in the ambulance. No one cares. And Trips is out for at least 6 weeks, which doesn't make sense because isn't Survivor Series in 5?
Yeah, but WWE.com reported he's out for 6 weeks. So
he's going to make a great recovery. And yeah, he's going to be back.
Pretty much.
That's really, really, really getting ridiculous. One thing that I'm surprised, though, is that they are pushing Mason Ryan. I'm surprised by this. I didn't think that he was ready for it. I still don't think he's ready for it. And I think what they're having him do, he would be better fit as a heel. And they're pushing him as a face. Mm-hmm. Is Batista coming back? I mean, I'm just wondering.
Well, we talked about before, and I still feel this way. I think that Mason Ryan would be a great bodyguard for Zack Ryder. You know, and you can have the comedy sketches where Zack Ryder teaches Mason Ryan to fist bump, you know, or how to spike his hair, you know, or wear sunglasses indoors, you know, things like that. You could have a fun segment every week on Raw about that. So it'd be pretty funny. I think that him winning the U.S. title would just be – would make the U.S. title that much more useless. And it would really be like, okay, we really want to push this guy, throw a title on him, you know, to try to make him big and then see if the crowd reacts. If they don't, who cares?
That's what I think's happening here. I think they're just trying to push him, see what happens. But if he was a heel, it'd be a different story. It'd be easier to, you know, it'd be easier for him to get over. But the fact that they're pushing him as a face, I think that's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. What I don't think is a bad idea, though, is CM Punk versus Alvaro Del Rio for Survivor Series. But there's one thing. CM Punk has to respect good old Johnny Ace.
Is that going to happen?
Eventually. He didn't. He made fun of him and, you know, called him stupid, basically, and an idiot right to his face.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that whole segment was very, very well done. CM Punk doing a great job on the stick, of course. And the one
he really does. I just hope that this match gets turned into something worthwhile. The thing I'm really afraid of is that they're going to have these two feud for the next four pay-per-views. It'll get old like Christian versus Randy Orton, and that's the problem that I have. And you know, I hate to harp on a subject because you guys know how I feel about it, but this really goes to show that when you have 4 weeks, you know, per pay-per-view, and in some cases 2 weeks. It just really makes those matches kind of meaningless. If this was a match where they were talking about Punk versus Alberto Del Rio at TLC, you know, December 19th or, you know, 18th or whenever it is, right? At TLC. Okay, we have 2 months worth of buildup. Wow, this is going to be huge. You can have fun segments. You can do all this crap in between. That's huge. And you can get heel heat on Johnny Ace by saying, you know what, Punk, you want Alberto Del Rio? You got him. And then the crowd reacts, and he's like, you want him tonight? Well, guess what? You get him at Survivor Series. You can have fun with him, you know? And, like, it pisses off the crowd. But
yeah. You know, and they're doing a great job with this. It's just going to be interesting to see how the build-up's going to end up happening on this, though.
So, I agree.
So, John Morrison, we'll see him in Impact Wrestling in about 3 months. He is, it seems like he's in a Buried Alive match with Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way to explain it.
He probably is, you know, probably. It's really sad. They're like, hey, you know what? We want you to go out there and lose not only convincingly, but we just want you to get your butt kicked. Like, we want to see you get buried as much as possible, because when you go to TNA, we don't want you to have any star power over there. And that's what they're doing.
Yep. And they actually mentioned the fact that he likes parkour. That's all they said about him. They're like, you know, he's a big fan of this parkour stuff and blah, blah, blah. Then Vince is like, hey, he's going to get fired here shortly, so stop talking about him.
Yeah, pretty much.
So our Miz, they assault Ryder before his match. I was a little ticked about that. And of course, Zack Ryder was ran through the hallway at one point. And the Bella Twins saw him, and they're like, oh, that's great for him. He deserves it. And then he gets his butt kicked. What's the point of that? I was so disappointed.
I like it. I like the fact that you have Ryder on TV. And look, I don't see him as a main eventer necessarily, but I see him as a like upper mid card. You know, I see him always being up there and having like this, he's going to be there. You know, he's going to be doing this and then have it pulled away from you, pulls on your heartstrings, you know, like it's like, you get mad about that. Right. And that's what I like about, you know. But they took on Cena alone, and then they got disqualified. And then Cena got to choose his partner for who's going to face our Miz at Survivor Series.
And for everyone who already got their Comcast information sent to them in the mail Monday morning, and they actually read the upcoming pay-per-views, you would have seen who the partner was already. They already announced it. Mm-hmm. They already announced the match. So when I was watching Raw, I was just like, why? I just got a flyer saying this. So that means that this was planned out weeks in advance.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of dumb how they started off. I mean, great, you get to see The Rock, but do I really want to see The Rock?
Well, what they're hoping for is You're going to buy the pay-per-view for Rock and Cena, Triple H versus Nash, and Punk versus Alberto Del Rio. That's what they're hoping. So
and
I
think you're going to see probably Dean Malenko versus Psychosis as well. Oh, yeah. We're talking about WWE. I'm sorry. But yeah, so that's set for SmackDown, for SummerSlam. I'm sorry, for Survivor Series, which is, I think they said it's the 20th. Is it the 25th anniversary of Survivor Series? Yeah, so. Anyways, let's move on to SmackDown. So, our Miz beat Air Boom in a non-title matchup. So, it looks like they're going to have this at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a decent match.
Well, not at the coming pay-per-view, but maybe at TLC is what I'm thinking.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, or you know what's going to happen? Or they're going to have a title match on Raw or SmackDown. They're going to drop the titles to them. And then Cena and The Rock are going to win the tag titles together.
And then
wait. By the way, I forgot to tell you, I got a job at WWE. I'm doing their creative stuff now. This is my plan. They're going to lose it next week, or they're going to lose it the Monday before Survivor Series, and then The Rock and Cena will be the tag champs, and they'll have to defend it.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds great.
And here's what we're going to start doing now. Daniel Bryan is now getting reborn as the champ. So he had, of course, had to face, you know, was it Tyson Kidd? He had to face him, of course, and beat him with a lapel lock. That means we're starting back from the bottom, and he's going to work his way up all the way to the top of WrestleMania.
Is that what they're doing with him?
That's the only thing I can think of.
This match against Tyson Kidd, I'm incredibly confused about his character. Like, it isn't making any sense to me. And it's not about, we're fans of Daniel Bryan. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know what they're doing with Christian. I don't know what they're doing with Daniel Bryan. I don't know what they're doing with John Morrison, other than burying him. And it seems like all three of these people, they don't have a plan. Our Miz, I understand. You know, I understand what their plan is with them. And same thing with Punk and Alberto Del Rio and a few other people. I just don't understand this. And I got to tell you, to me, this is such a great opportunity to make Daniel Bryan a superstar and make him a big part of your company. Yeah, he's not going to be a John Cena, but he could be your Chris Benoit but not kill people. But he could be your Chris Benoit.
You had to specify that part.
Or your Bret Hart, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he could be a big superstar.
Yeah, he could be your Bret Hart, but be American. Definitely. I thought it's just pointless. But it's also, I think that he's getting rebooted. So Punk and Christian had a great match. But again, what was the point? Why did they wrestle? There's no point to this match. That has nothing to do with any storylines whatsoever. It doesn't advance either character.
Mm-hmm.
It's pointless. There's no point to this.
I think is that you have two superstars that could have a pay-per-view match. So I think that this is a missed opportunity for them, you know? And it just makes me wonder what they're going to do with Christian. Christian hasn't won a match in, like, I don't know, like 6 weeks now.
Since the Reagan administration?
Pretty much. And so it just makes you wonder, like, what are they going to do with him? Like, and what are they going to do with him?
I don't know, dude. I think it's his tenure with the WWE is pretty much over. So what's not over is the fact that we switched to HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, and you're not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo out to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling. Christopher Daniels had a great match, a fantastic match with Rob Van Dam. So where are they going with this?
I don't know. I actually think that this might be a good feud. They had a match on free TV, and then you make it interesting at the pay-per-view, put them in a ladder match or something like that. But I actually like this. I thought it was good, and they have some good chemistry together, and RVD needs new opponents. I mean, they had him against Jerry Lynn for the past like 6 months, and it's like, okay, that's cool, but new people, please.
Even Jerry Lynn was like, come on, man, that's way too much.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is the weird part. The TV title, it finally got defended.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Why did they wait till now to do it?
Well, why are they not defending the TV title every single week? I mean, that title that AJ Styles held for a little while is useless. They need to retire it and introduce a new title.
Yeah. They should just have the TV title. Anytime there's a TV taping, that title is defended. It's the main event on the crappy shows. Hence, Explosion. And then it should probably be the curtain jerker on it on the Impact.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the thing that I really think that they have, they're not grasping, because when you give it to Eric Young, who I like, you know, we did a spot about him on a show of OTM, and I like him, but if you give him a title that AJ Styles held, and then you have this joke where he's fighting Scott Baio, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Like, honestly, it is really stupid, you know. But let's move on to something, though, that is actually, like, worthwhile, which is the Jeff Hardy versus Jeff Jarrett feud. So it's being built right now by having basically an immortal gauntlet. So basically, Jeff Jarrett's like, okay, I'm going to have you take on Gunnar. I'm going to have you take on Bully Ray. You know, I'm going to have you take on Scott Steiner or whoever. What do you think of this feud so far?
This is a toughie. Because this I like. I did not like the last one with Robert Roode. Didn't like that one.
Mm-hmm.
This one I kind of dig. Because, you know, it makes Jeff Hardy, you know, it'll build him up more. And Jeff Jarrett, it just makes him more of a heel. I mean, that's the thing. Like, when Kurt Angle did it, it didn't really make him more of a feud. It was just like, what do you mean? He qualified through the Bound for Glory series. Why does he have to wrestle the guys in his clique?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this one makes sense, you know, to me, because the match is not pointless, but, you know, if they're going to wrestle, it's like, well, you're going to wrestle, but guess what? You got to go through these guys first. They're not his friends. They're all of his enemies. Technically, they're all heels that he's facing. That's great. This is done properly.
Yeah. You know what? This is what they should have done for Robert Roode. They should have had him face Scott Steiner and Gunnar.
You know, and, yeah. It's like he does this and this, but not this. You know, it's just the right way. So anyway, so Robert Roode actually defeats Samoa Joe to become the number one contender for the TNA title. Surprised about this because I thought Samoa Joe was going to win. I mean, I thought that'd be great. It kind of, you know, jumps him all of a sudden right to the main event picture, and he'd face Storm next week. That'd be great.
The thing I don't understand is, why is he going to face him next week? You know, and I mean, they came out and they you know, like, obviously they were looking at each other like with, you know, like, ooh, you know, in their eyes. But, you know, the thing that I gave a, you know, synopsis of, you know, let's book this. And I said, you should turn Robert Roode heel and have him face Storm in like two pay-per-views, like slowly build it, you know, and then that way people look back and they go, oh, well, 2 months ago, this happened. And then it's like a big deal. I think that this is going to be too soon because something's going to happen. And you know that whether it's Storm or Robert Roode, they're going to basically, you know, butt heads in one way, shape, or form.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't like the idea of doing this. I think that this is premature.
All right. So let's move on to our weekly topic. Scott Hall on E60. It was only for like 20 minutes, though.
Well, you know, we were going to talk about this last week, but we saw it.
Someone else didn't see it.
I thought that you said you didn't see it. I'm sorry, then.
No, I watched it. I thought you said you didn't see it.
I didn't see it last week. So that's why we wanted to talk about it this week.
Okay.
And Andy, I wanted to ask you. So first of all, Scott Hall in the 80s or like early 90s with the mustache, and he was pretty big, dude.
Didn't he? He looked like Rick Rude.
That's what I thought.
Like a big Rick Rude.
Big. He looked huge.
Yeah, that's the thing. He looked big, and then he said, then when he came to the WWE, he was small. It was like, it almost looked like he was like 300 pounds and then he went down to 220. That's what it looked like, or even 250.
I'd say like 250, but yeah, he looked huge, dude. And he talked about steroids, you know, and then, you know, they talked about, you know, the big topic at hand, which was drug use and how him and Shawn Michaels would get wasted and do a lot of drugs.
They're like, hey, do you know what this does? No, let's take it. But see, you know, now I got to defend this with the new wrestlers that are going on now. Most of them are such health nuts right now. There's a lot, like most of the guys in the WWE, like the mid-carders, they're all health nuts. They do not take drugs. You know, at worst, they'd smoke a little pot here. But they actually are all, like Dolph Ziggler is a huge health freak. Same thing with Zack Ryder. Huge health freaks. There has not been that many guys who care about their body and actually work out. There's never been like that in wrestling. Mostly wrestling, it was a bunch of guys smoking cigarettes, drinking beer. You know, that's what it was. But see, now it's different. Now it's the guys who actually want to put on great matches, not the dumb style that the dumbed down styles we like to say for the WWE. But
yeah, and you know, it's one of those things too. When you think about it now. It's so prevalent, you know, I mean, think about concussions and how you can't, you know, hit people in the head with chairs. But like 4 years ago, you know, there were concertos, you know, people were getting bashed in the head with two chairs at the same time, you know?
I don't think that's it though, because even with those guys, a lot of those guys like stopped doing, like taking pain or like muscle relaxers or Soma, which is the biggest drug they all use. But it stopped happening as much. I mean, you got to think if the generation gap, like from the guys from like we'll say the mid 90s to the guys who have been around for like 6 years now, they're health conscious. A lot of those guys are health freaks. That's the thing. It used to be that, like I said, they would all just, you know, they'd be like basically how baseball players were like in the 1920s and 30s. They just drank and, you know, it didn't matter. They didn't care what happened. But that's Scott Hall, though. That's the age, the era that he grew up in. A lot of those guys now, like if you've ever watched the Wrestling World Diaries, which I know you haven't, but any of our listeners who have, you'll see that those guys, I mean, even though it's only three guys, there's multiple guys now that are just that way. They travel that way. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't do drugs. They actually will work out, and they're very health conscious about themselves. I mean, that's different. The thing that this piece proved to me was that some guys need to know when to hang it up. But the other thing also is a lot of wrestlers have degrees, which this never was the case. Ever. It's like a basketball star. You know, he plays 2 years, comes to the NBA. He doesn't care about his degree. He just is playing for the sport. A lot of these guys care. And I think I think a lot of them are more mature when they actually get into the ring and they want to do it. And I think it's harder for those guys to get in now, but they're also the ones that are—they're the ones that are successful, opposed to the other ones that aren't.
I mean, well, and they're a little bit smarter. I mean, you know, not saying like everyone who doesn't go to college is stupid, because they're not by any means. But you know, people who go to college and graduate tend to be percentage-wise smarter, you know, or are able to handle things a little bit better. And it goes to show in most sports, you know, most people. You know, who you know, go to college tend to do a little bit better. And I think it's one of those things with Scott Hall that he never got out of his adolescent stage. You know, he was always kind of a like a child. I don't want to say a child, but he acted very childish. Mm-hmm. What was funny, though, in the program, it seemed like his time at WCW at first, he actually was toned down quite a bit. Like when he got into wrestling, it seemed like in WWF, he was a really wild party animal. But when he got to WCW, it actually toned down a little. That's the way it seemed to me. I don't know about for
you. That's how I took it. But then it seemed like he just, you know, after WCW was done or he left WCW, it just seemed to me like, you know, he had a second set with the WWE and then that was it. And I thought it was really interesting. He went to that indie wrestling show and the promoter put him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And people bashed him for that. I agree with that promoter did. I paid him. He's going out there. I don't care what condition he's in. That's what happened. And the thing is, it made Scott Hall look terrible. Well, tough. If Scott Hall gets off the plane and says, I want my money now, otherwise I'm not doing the show, you got to pay him. You're screwed. You have to pay him.
Here's the problem I had with that, which was, you know, Sean Waltman basically said F you to the promoter, saying that he shouldn't have done that. I think that there is a compromise here, which is you don't put Scott Hall out there to wrestle, which is what he did. Because Scott Hall, if you noticed it, you know, Justin Credible was there. He threw a guy at Scott Hall, and Scott Hall, like, hit him in the head with a chair very gingerly.
And if you notice, he did it. He had the chair folded the wrong way.
Did he?
I'm not making that up, because I was like, did I see that right? And I went back and I'm like, oh, he had it the wrong way.
So have him go out there and cut a promo. Have him go out there and do something different. You don't have to have him go out there and wrestle, because obviously he can't wrestle. If anything else, the promoter was stupid for putting him out there to wrestle, because you're putting your superstars at danger. You know, if he was wrestling somebody, the guy who he hit in the head with the chair, let's say you hit him wrong and he cut his head open. And like, let's say that's your main star. Well, guess what? You just put your main star out for a few weeks, maybe.
Oh, I mean, I see that point, but I think that had to be that they had to show that. Because, like I said, if I'm a promoter and I paid a guy, and the guy was a dick about the money, I put him out there because I had to pay for him to be there, and the fans came to see him. You know, and the fact that, you know, in a way, it might have been a wake-up call for Scott Hall for him to do that as well. I mean, there's a lot of things that I do agree with. You know, I do agree with, now, the one thing that you did say, okay, the safety of the other wrestlers. If the other wrestlers know that he is basically completely crap-faced, it's different. I think that you can get away with it, where like the guy's going to know, hey, this is what's going to happen. But when he swung that chair, dude, I think our grandma could throw a better chair shot than what he did.
Probably.
You know, and like, you know, and the sad part is, you know, after hearing about what happened in real life, the fact that his son just is like, I'm not wrestling. I'm done. Not even going to bother wrestling, because I think that's the problem, is because he saw, well, this is what happened to my dad. This is what's going to happen to me. Well, if he would go around with certain wrestlers, like Colt Cabana is the best one. He is self-made as a wrestler, and he's a business guy as well. He's selling himself. He does very well. He's probably one of the wealthiest independent wrestlers out there, and he goes everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So, you know, I'm happy for Colt in that aspect. But if he was to hang out with guys like that, things are different then. Because you won't see him drinking, you won't see him smoking, you won't see him doing drugs or painkillers. Because when those guys are all together, that's their thing. No drugs. Simple. Let's be healthy. And, you know, maybe once in a while have that steak, you know. But that's about it. Or you're In-N-Out or McDonald's. So.
Yeah. But, no, I think the biggest thing, though, is, you know, looking at Scott Hall's life. I don't know. I mean, you look at that, I mean – what are you thinking? You're watching this program. What do you think about?
Yeah, like because he killed the guy or whatever, and you know, like, all right, well, then once he went to WWE, he changed. Great for him. Came to WCW, did his thing, but like you said, he was toned down. You know, in a way, you know, I feel bad for him, but like the fact that he's taking all these drugs every day just to be a normal person. I think a lot of it's they're just drugging him just to drug him. I have high blood pressure. I have heart medication. I have this for that. I have this for that. I don't know. At some point, I think some of it he's just taking so he can get high.
There's a possibility, you know. I mean, really, there is. So it's sad. Honestly, it is really sad because this is somebody, you know, the whole say hello to the bad guy.
Yep.
I love that, you know, like, and when he came out and gave his, you know, his polls, he's like, how many people came here to see WCW?
Or the NWO.
To see the NWO.
Exactly. So in a way, that's kind of...
Guys.
Yeah, in a kind of way, that's kind of how I want to remember him. But definitely check it out. ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Classic, ESPN3.com, and wherever else they're on. ESPNU.com, maybe, or ESPNU. Maybe it'll be on there. You never know.
Maybe.
So anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast and also being awesome. And I want to thank our listeners for being awesome as well. and taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.